Lesson 35, A Blessed Ending. This lesson begins on page 264 of your book. This audio text version does not contain the reading of any listed footnotes. This book is full of statistics and dates, some of them have already occurred, and most are yet to come to pass. In my personal library, I have over 450 books that are primarily dedicated to discussing biblical prophecy. They were each written in the attempt to provide meaning to prophecy in the Bible. So, most of them discussed their vision of how they saw the end times unrolling, via their study of Scripture. Each would use essentially the same verses I am using, in attempt to decipher the deeper meaning of God's prophetic statements. If I retained the book in my collection, and didn't discard it, it was due to my belief the author made an honest effort to provide Christian guidance to their readers. I have held a deep and abiding love of prophecy, since I was literally old enough to understand what it was. That's why I began reading and saving all those books. Most of the authors acknowledge two simple facts. The first fact was that those who read or hear the words of prophecy from the Bible, and then heed what they reveal, would be blessed. But, the blessing would only come to those who were near in time to the events being described. The reason for this is, if a person wasn't alive within the period called the end times, they wouldn't understand the words they were reading. Which brings us to fact number two. God commanded the words of prophecy to remain undecipherable until the reader was close to the time of the end. The Apostle John was told to seal up the words of Revelation until the time was near. When you read the verse, it begins, "Do not seal up the words of prophecy in this book." Remember, John was already present in the end times, when he was writing down the visions God was showing him. God had propelled him bodily into the future, and showed John the events he was to record. John literally recorded what he observed with his own eyes. God was essentially telling him, and us, that the words he was recording would remain sealed up until the time was near. And there were things John was permitted to see, but was not permitted to record, within the pages of his book. John had just heard what the seven thunders had spoken, following the appearance of an angel holding a little book. He was about to put their words in writing, but was told from a voice coming out of heaven, "Seal up what the seven thunders have said, and do not write it down." Make no mistake, anyone can read the words of Revelation's prophecy. They are ordinary words. But, deciphering their true meaning is impossible, until the time of the end. In the book of Isaiah, we discover God doing the identical thing. Isaiah was another prophet who wrote lots of prophecy. But, like Daniel and John, the passages covering the events of the end time were sealed by God. People capable of literacy can read the words Isaiah wrote, but will lack understanding of their prophetic meaning until the book is unsealed in the time of the end. The word for sealed is khatam, and means to lock, shut up, seal. The idea of the words being locked or sealed works well as an analogy. While they have been locked up, they can easily be unlocked or unsealed. That's exactly what God has done, now that we are within the end times. Another great example is found in the book of Daniel. An angel of the Lord told the prophet Daniel the same thing when he said, "Shut up these words and seal the book until the end of time." The angel said the same thing several verses later when answering Daniel's questions, "Go on your way, Daniel," he replied, "for the words are closed and sealed up until the time of the end." The text of the chapter is very clear. The things Daniel was told to write would remain closed to human understanding until the time of the end. Even to him. But, the angel did leave one huge clue for Daniel, which we will discuss momentarily. Returning to the mention of a blessing for those heeding the words of Revelation, we can now see that the blessing God is talking about are the instructions the words are now able to convey to the reader. Most people will openly scoff when they read books like this one. By doing so, they ignore the word of God, at their peril. Those who heed the words of prophecy will be blessed by following God's instructions. Let's discuss two relevant examples. Look at Daniel, chapter 12, verse 11. From the time that the regular sacrifice is turned aside, and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there will be 1290 days. We previously discussed how this verse affects the events involving the Antichrist. Let's now look at a historical perspective. Solomon's temple was destroyed on August 12, 587 BC. The sacrifice was stopped on that very day. Changing the word days, in the above verse to years, yields another prophecy. Each biblical year has 360 days. 360, times, 1290, equals, 464,400, days. August 12, 587 BC, plus 464,400 days, equals, February 4, 686. The resulting date is the day when construction on the Dome of the Rock was began. It took 5 years to complete. This is the building sitting on the Hebrew Temple Mount. It covers the location for the Holy of Holies. Let's now examine the next verse in Daniel. Blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of the 1335 days. These two verses sit right next to each other. Therefore, it makes sense to reason that they are directly related. And you will see they are. Using the same starting date for verse 11, yields the following. November 26, 2033, plus 1335 days, equals, July 22, 2037. The astute reader will instantly recognize, this date falls the day prior, to when Satan will be thrown down to earth. Daniel is essentially saying, that those persons who successfully ignore all the hoopla surrounding the coronation of the Antichrist, by rejecting his blasphemous lies, and denying his faked resurrection, will be blessed. The word for blessed is, Asher, and means, having a sacred nature, connected with God. The definition is a huge clue. It is my humble belief that this will be the day Jesus will remove his followers from earth up to heaven. The popular culture describes the event as the rapture. This date makes sense from many perspectives. First off, for those persons who are truly saved, they cannot be subjected to being placed in a position where they can be forced to accept the mark of the Antichrist. Once a person is saved, the Bible is clear, no one can remove them from the hand of Christ. And the Bible is equally clear, anyone taking the mark of the beast is eternally damned. Secondly, God has shown repeatedly in Scripture that He always removes His people before the really serious judgment starts. We see this with Noah and the nephew of Abraham, Lot, to name just two examples. I'm well aware of the somewhat false teaching that no one knows the day or hour of the rapture. I will dedicate an entire future Bible detective book to discuss the logic that true followers of Christ will know the time of their rescue. It fits the same logic that we know the identity of the Antichrist ahead of time. When Christ returns at his second coming, this is not the rapture, there will be no followers left on earth. They will all be beheaded. Everyone left, including the contingent of Jews in Petra, will be caught by surprise of his return. The rapture of the church is analogous to removing the threat posed by the abomination that causes desolation. This is the description given to both the Antichrist and the Dome of the Rock. Both are involved with polluting the Hebrew Temple's Holy of Holies. The rapture will remove God's people from the coming threat of the Antichrist when Satan begins attacking Christians in earnest. Being taken to heaven will put Christians into the direct presence of God. Let's now see what the prophecy does for the Jews in Israel. Adding the 1335 years to the date the sacrifice was originally taken away, doesn't yield any significant date. 45 years after the Dome of the Rock was started, still had the dome sitting squarely over the Temple Mount. So, I added 1335 years onto the date the Dome of the Rock was begun. February 4, 686, plus 1335 years, equals, February 4, 2021. I believe this will be the date the Jews will begin working on their third temple. Like the Dome of the Rock, it will take 5 years to finish construction. This yields a completion date of February 4, 2026. The Jews will commence sacrificing and worshipping in the rebuilt temple. Like the rapture, they will once more as a nation, be in the presence of God inside the restored temple's Holy of Holies. It is this very sanctuary where the Antichrist, just 11 years later, will enter and declare himself to be God. This event is described as the third wake-up call. Then, less than 1 year after restarting the sacrifice in the temple, an enraged worldwide Arab community, allied with Russia and her confederates, will attack Israel, with the intent of driving her from the face of the earth. This massive attack will fail on January 6, 2027, the exact date of the second wake-up call. Please, read my series, The End is Near, to glean all the details. There are lots of biblical events described which will take place in those ensuing years. Lesson 35, Questions for Discussion. Question 1, Explain why God sealed up prophecy, until the time of the end was near. Question 2, Why was the Apostle John, told to not seal up his words? Fully explain your answer. Question 3, Discuss the two prophecies which come out of the 1290 number of Daniel, chapter 12, verse 11. Question 4, Define the Greek word esher. Question 5, Explain the significance of July 22, 2037. When you're ready, you can proceed on to Lesson 36, The King of Tyre. If you're listening using the website, just hit the back button on your browser, to return to the page with the Chapter 7 lessons. Then move on to Lesson 36, The King of Tyre. Click on the blue box, to hear the lesson with all footnotes read aloud. Click on the green box, to hear the version without them. If you're using an audio player along with the thumb drive, to listen to the book, it will automatically sequence to the next lesson. If you wish to stop play, just hit pause or stop. As long as you keep the thumb drive in the player, it will remember your place when you resume listening. If you're listening to the book on a computer or tablet, manually selecting which lesson to listen to next, click on the File Explorer to pull up the thumb drive menu. Then, click on the box for Lesson 36, labeled 7.36, The King of Tyre, to hear the next lesson.